The Postcast, brought to you by Boyle Sports. Best odds guaranteed, available the day before racing on singles, multiples, online and in shop. Time to switch? Boyle Sports. This is betting.
Hello and welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast in association with Boyle Sports. My name's Sam Hart and we are going to be covering the ITV Racing card across the next half hour or so. We've come to the end of the kind of British jump season over here. That happened at Sandown on Saturday. We've still got Punchdown to look forward to, obviously, over in Ireland. But we'll be taking a look at most of the card on Saturday at Sandown, along with some of the racing from Haydock and one race from Leicester. As always, on the Postcast, I'm joined by Stella Cast to give their opinions on the racing. We have Racing Post, Robbie Wilders and Mark Boyne, along with Ball Sports' very own Leon Blanche. Leon, I'll come to you first today, as we haven't caught up since last week. And obviously, Ball Sports sponsored the Gold Cup Novices Chase, where we saw Galloping Deschamps put on an impressive show. And also the Irish Grand National on Bank Holiday Monday, where we saw Lord Lariat win for Dermot McLaughlin. I bet it was some weekend for you.
Yeah, look, it was a fantastic weekend, Sam. I think looking back on Sunday, I think every kind of racing fan just wanted to see Galloping Deschamps win and put in an impressive performance. I thought it was one of the most assured jumping performances that he's actually done. I think Paul Townend mentioned that in his post-race comments as well. A little bit hairy at the last, but I mean, to win by what was it, 18 lengths, you're just never sure what type of mark a kind of a mishap at Cheltenham could have left on him. But he's the real deal. And I think from what Willie Mullins had said post-race, all roads lead to a Gold Cup. And I'm delighted at that, because I wouldn't could have went back to 2 miles. I never really understood some people's argument there. I always thought he was a Gold Cup horse. And it looks as if all roads will lead to Cheltenham on St. Patrick's Day next year. Hopefully we've got a Plutard up against Galloping Deschamps. What a mouth-watering contest that could be. The Boyle Sports Irish Grand National, what a training performance by Dermot McLaughlin. Very unassuming guy. I think he's got 40 horses in training. He only trains up the road from Fairy House. We went down to Fairy House, I think it was 3 weeks, or down to Dermot's Yard, maybe 3 weeks before Fairy House on Easter weekend. And he just kind of gave Lord Lariat a bit of a mention that if he was able to get in to the 30 runners, he wouldn't be without a chance, you know, on good ground. And there was no fluke about the manner of victory. When he jumped the last, he was pulling away. I mean, he won by 4¾ lengths. And a brilliant story for racing. $5,500 is all the horse cost. They won $270,000 for first prize. And all roads are going to lead to Aintree next year. We saw how well Freewheeling Dylan travelled for large parts of the Aintree Grand National this year. He, of course, won the Boyle Sports Irish National in 2021 at 150-1. Lord Lariat wasn't that big of a price, but he was still 40-1. But it just goes to show you, it really is a race that anybody can win. And another brilliant story. The scenes when the horse and jockey came back in were phenomenal. Of course, we'd no one there last year. So it was a brilliant weekend all round.
Yeah, it looked a fantastic weekend there. The atmosphere was amazing. And it really was some story over there. Now, Robbie, we're still in that kind of flat jumps transition at the moment. But I feel like after this weekend, we're going to be focusing more in Britain on the flat. But you're probably looking forward to Punchdown as well next week.
Yeah, very much so, Sam. Still got 12 grade ones to look forward to over there. We've got one left at Sandown. So I can't fully put my flat hat on just yet. But yeah, lots to look forward to.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. And Mark, a lot's been said before this weekend with regards to the field sizes that we're seeing and the lack of runners. However, the Bet365 Gold Cup does look a bit of a corker, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's competitive. It's always competitive. The ground is, you know, this time of year, you'd always expect it to be on the decent side, but it looks particularly spicy. I'm sure they'll have it safe for Saturday. But yeah, small fields. Don't know if it makes it any easier to find value in it. Might make it a little bit easier to find a winner, but we'll give it a go anyway.
Yeah, we'll give it a very good go today. And we'll be previewing 3 races in part 1 of the Postcast, 3 in part 2. And then we'll get the panel's thoughts on any races elsewhere, as well as their naps of the week. And so let's start off with the ITV card. And we start off with the 150 at Sandown. This is the Bet365 Novices Championship Final Handicap Hurdle, Class 2, over 2 miles. And the market looks like this with Ball Sports at the moment. Nappers Hill 7-2, Headlaw coming for a bit of support. That horse is 9-2, Wizkid 6-1, Dr. Parnassus is 7-1, along with Boom Bourne and Dibble Decker 8-1, 12-1 bar these. Robbie, Nichols horses just seem to, you know, they love this spring ground at the moment. And do you think we've probably got the right favourite with regards to Nappers Hill?
Yeah, I think we've got the right favourite. Whether I want to back him is another question. I think he's probably slightly too short. I mean, he's got a turnaround after only running a week ago, winning a pretty easy race he was entitled to win. But, I mean, it's interesting he's turned that quickly anyway. I'd rather look something each way at a slightly bigger price, and I'm going to go for WizKid. I was on him at Aintree as well when he was fourth there. He was really well back there. He went off three-time favourite in the end. He didn't jump as well as I would have hoped there, but there's definitely a lot of ability in the bonnet, and he's definitely well handicapped enough to win off 126, I think. I mean, this horse was... He's making his first start for Richard Newley, the grade one. And the Tolworth Constitution Hill proved way too good for him there. But I think there's still scope in that mark. And the fact that Sam Twist and Davis takes over from the Prentice is enough for me to want to be side with WizKid.
WizKid, potentially a fair price in the opener at Sandown for Robbie. Mark, I think the Skeltons are potentially in for a good weekend coming up. They've got Dr. Parnassus at a fairly big price in here. Is it one of those where you're going to be keeping things simple and looking at the top of the market? Or is there one at a bigger price you quite like?
No, I think so. Look, to me, Nappers Hill, Dr. Parnassus and WizKid, I think it surrounds those three. And I'm with Robbie, I like WizKid. Jumping-wise, I think if he had just been a little bit sharper, it would have helped him along last time. He still wasn't beaten far. You know, the front two, a little bit more experience in terms of, you know, they weren't necessarily, you know, we're back into novice company here. I think that'll sharpen up. Okay, maybe a tiny bit too soon. And, you know, ground-wise, he's proven on softer ground, but won on good at Ludlow. So I'm not too concerned. I think he makes more sense. And similar to the case of Robbie, I think 1-2-6, he can be better than that in time. So hopefully WizKid will prove that here today on Saturday. He's the one for me.
WizKid proving a popular selection so far, Leon. Are you going to make it a hat-trick?
I probably am. I mean, I whittled it down to WizKid and Nappers Hill. I mean, Nappers Hill, he was a very good bumper horse. And I suppose he only really has the one blot on his copybook, like which came like when the ground was too soft for him. I think he will... and prefer the much sounder surface that he's definitely going to encounter on Saturday. But I think you could say the same for WizKid. I mean, I think quicker ground, if you look at his penultimate win at Ludlow, it was good ground. He was very impressive that day when Sam Twist and Davis was on him. Yes, he was a 6-1 on favourite and he should have won, but he won very impressively by 9.5 lengths. And I just think at the prices at the moment, I mean, Nappers Hill, what is he, 7-2? WizKid is 6-1. I'd much rather be taking a chance on a 6-1 poke than Nappers Hill at 7-2, but they were the two I boiled it down to. I don't see anything at a bigger price really getting involved. So for me, let's go for the trio. We'll all be on the WizKid.
WizKid, yeah, all three going for it in the opener at 6-1, a fairly decent price in the opener at Sandown. Now let's move away from the jumps now, and we'll go from a 2-mile novice handicap hurdle all the way to a 7-furlong flat handicap at Haydock. It's the 205, it's the Great Shevington handicap. This is a class 2. Leon, I actually think you mentioned last week weekend with regards to Oh, This Is Us. Now, we've actually got two old veterans in this race with Sir Dancelot, who's 8, also going in here. Oh, This Is Us, now 9. Probably going to be a tough ask for them here. Do you fancy any of those?
I was going to go with Silver Samurai, really. It's a hard enough race, 7 furlongs. To try and pick a winner here, but I just thought the value Silver Samurai around about the 15-2, 8-1 mark. He's a very consistent horse. Look, he doesn't get his head in front enough, but surely he's going to get his head in front at some stage. I think we're paying 4 places on this race. I'd be absolutely amazed if Silver Samurai can't at least get his head into the first 4, and eventually he will win one of these. I just love the consistency, never runs a bad race, and every horse must have its day eventually. I mean, if you look down at his form on his last 3 starts, second, third, second, he's always there or thereabouts, probably doesn't do himself any favours in terms of not winning enough. You've got to go all the way back to Doncaster, the middle of June, to find his last victory. But I just think at 15-2 or around about the 8-1 mark, I think he's a cracking each way bet with us paying 4 places.
Okay, Leon with the Marco Botti horse, Silver Samurai here. Robbie, is this a race you're keen to have a bet in at all?
Yeah, very much so, Sam. I've already backed Oh, This Is Us. I think he's a cracking each way price at around 16-1. It's quite interesting. He's got a habit of popping up at massive prices. I mean, last season he won a listed race at Ascot at 66-1, and he won at Epsom 2 starts later 18-1. It's just quite interesting. Before he won at Ascot in this listed race, which was on this weekend last year, he was actually beaten 7.25 lengths in the Spring Cup the week before. And he was actually beaten of the 7.5 lengths in the Spring Cup last weekend. And he's been dropped £3 for that. He's just the sort of horse that comes forward with his runs. And off the lowest mark he's been running off since, what, 5.5 years, looking at his record. I just think that he's shown enough ability this season to suggest he can win off 93. And I thought he'd be much shorter than the 16s.
Okay, I think this is actually be a fantastic story if a nine-year-old were to go and do it. Mark, as I said at the start of the preview, jumps and flat transitions still currently happening. It's not easy, but is it a race that you've had a good look at?
Yeah, do you know what? I was so tempted by all this. Is us. Robbie's giving me nightmares here. But I really think he's going to run well. Like, the handicapper is just dangling that carrot, like, down to 93. But I can't really put him up. I would like to just see a little bit more from him at Newbury. Like, on the back of that, to take a leap forward in 7 days, you know, at the age of 9, he has been given a chance, but I just can't come down on it with enough conviction. Boardman was the one for me. Won him here at Haydock before over 7. More than satisfactory comeback at Redcar. Didn't have Everton fall right. He kind of had to make his ground wide. Mark at 90 has proved workable in the past, so he looks pretty solid. And, you know, I wouldn't be shocked in any way if all this is us ran a screamer. And I love the horse, in fairness. I wouldn't begrudge him it, but Boardman might just be a little bit more solid. If I was braver, if I was like Robbie now, I might have thrown the big dart out, but I'd go for Boardman.
Okay, Mark with Boardman, Leon with Silver Samurai, and Robbie with the legend that is Oh, This Is Us. Hopefully a big price winner there for Robbie. Let's switch eyes all back to Sandown again for the 225 there. This is the Oaksea Chase, a grade 2 over 2.75 miles. This is a grade 2 race, and it's an intriguing little contest. We've got the four runners: Mr. Fisher, currently 6-4 of Ball Sports, St. Calvados 9-4, Nutswell 7-2, and Earn River 5-1. Like I say, it is an intriguing contest, Mark, and potentially one where you wouldn't be shocked to see this go away from Nichols or Henderson.
You know, I'm disappointed with the turnout for this, to be frank. Like, I mean, Minora won this 4 years in a row. I know he'd probably be 15 or 16 here, but you wouldn't rule him out if he was turning up here for the quality of race it is. I mean, Mr. Fisher is, he's just so frustrating. St. Calvados has burst in the past. It has no bet race written all over for me, to be honest. But Earn River, if you put a gun to my head, too early to know how he'd have fared at Aintree when he came down, but really progressive profile prior to that. Nutswell, really, really likeable horse, but he's 11. You know, if one of these could be on the up, it's Earn River. Just don't know if you're getting enough of a price about him to really have a crack at him. But very, very tentative Earn River, but just, you know, it'll be an interesting race to see how it pans out, but in terms of overall quality, I'm disappointed about what's on show.
It's a difficult race to work out. Mr. Fisher's a horse that I just can't trust. St. Calvados, I think, might want a little bit more dig in the ground. But Leon, it's great to see Brian Hughes riding at Sandown. Obviously, got up 200 winners for the season on Wednesday this week. I've seen plenty of people on social media crabbing this, saying that he potentially, you know, he doesn't ride graded winners and he avoids all the big meetings. But if his goal is to win the champion jockey, I guess you've got to do what you've got to do.
Yeah, listen, come here. There's not many people can ever say that they've ridden 200 winners in a season, but Brian Hughes is one of them. He joins an illustrious group, Skew, Dickie Johnson, and the champ AP McCoy. Fair play to him. The dedication that he's shown to ride 200 winners in a season is absolutely off the charts. I don't know why people are cribbing Brian Hughes. I think he's an excellent jockey. I'm actually amazed that he doesn't get more chances in graded races, because in my opinion, he's a lot better than some of the jockeys who we see in graded races. However, he's on Nutswell here. I would kind of agree with what Mark has said. Mr. Fisher, I mean, look, he was touched off in this last year by Froden. If he could repeat that run, it would probably be good enough. But could you trust him? Not for me. Earn River is the one, to me, that remains a horse of serious interest. His jumping did let him down at Aintree. And it just, look, it'll be interesting to see him in this grade. However, he's the one that I think could still be on an upward curve. So for that reason, and even looking at the prices, I mean, would you be taking 6-4 about Mr. Fisher? Certainly not for me. They always say back the outsider of 3. Well, I'm going to back the outsider of 4 here. Earn River at 5-1 will do me.
There we go. 2 selections for Earn River. And Robbie, it wouldn't surprise me if you go for one of the outside of the 4, because I know you do like a price. Are you going to be with Earn River here?
Yeah, I was on him at Aintree, but he was frustratingly full there. His jumping is still a bit of a concern for me. And like Leon, I was hoping for a little bit more juice in Earn River. I was hoping he'd be a bit bigger than the 5-1. So I think on that respect, I'm going to leave him out. I thought St. Calvados would be favourite, getting £6 from Mr. Fisher. I mean, they're both identically rated at 157. St. Calvados, they met three times this season off level weights, and St. Calvados has finished ahead of Mr. Fisher twice. This trip is probably perfect. There's a slight ground concern, but I feel like he's gonna run his race. And yeah, I just thought 9-4 is probably a bit too big.
There you go, St. Calvados for Robbie and Nichols there, who's gonna be crowned champion at trainer on Saturday. So one selection for St. Calvados, and Leon and Mark both with Earn River, who I quite like in there as well. Now join us in just a few seconds where we'll look at the final three races on the ITV card.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to the Weekend Postcast with me, Sam Hart, Robbie Wilders, Mark Boylan and Leon Blanche. We've got everyone's thoughts on the opening three races. Now let's move into the second half of the ITV card, and we'll kick things off with a flat race, a listed race at Leicester, the 2:45. This is the EBF Stallions King Richard III Stakes, and it's over 7 furlongs. And again, we talk about field sizes. This is really disappointing. Three runners here. And I mean, it's not just the only race this weekend that we've had with three runners. We've also got the Gordon Richards Stakes on Friday, which is a group three, and that's only got three runners in it. But Robbie, what's your take on all the field sizes, and who's going to be your pick of the three here?
Yes, again, not ideal. It just lessens the appeal to betting it, and I won't be betting, but I did think that Path of Thunder was a bit short as the even money favourite. I think it's dangerous to kind of take Maidan form completely at face value, and he's made all his improvements in Maidan this winter. I mean, maybe he will translate it to turf over here, but I'd rather wait and see that myself. I thought Happy Power is probably the one to beat. I mean, only three starts back, he was only beaten less than 4 lengths in the Group 1 at Royal Ascot on Champions Day, by Creative Force. He's a proper Group 2 animal. I mean, he's obviously more exposed than the other two, but I thought he was likely to run his race. And he ran a good comeback at Wolves behind Tinker Toy. There's a horse, Highland Princess, came out and won on All Weather Champions Day since, and that's quite decent form. So yeah, Happy Power for me.
Yeah, it'd be, if Robbie had to pick one, it would be Happy Power. And Mark, it may be a race worth leaving alone, but you know, Path of Thunder is even money favourite with Ball Sports, and you know, Charlie Appy and William Buick, they're going great guns at the moment, aren't they? So he's probably a worthy favourite in there.
Jeez, Appleby is on fire, isn't it? Like, it's insane. At the time of recording here, 21 runners in the last fortnight, 12 winners. Ah, just insane. But I do think Happy Power, the market might just be a little bit underestimating him here. Like, he's just so, so solid. Like, if Path of Thunder is to take another leap forward, he has more potential to improve than Happy Power. But if there are any chinks in his armour, I think he'll find them out. And he tactically, you know, he's pretty versatile. You know, he's gone forward in the past. You know, in a tactical race, he has the experience and the know-how. 9-4 is more than fair. It's not a race that you'll be chasing at the end of the day to really, really get out of trouble. But Happy Power just looks really, really solid at 9-4.
Happy Power to potentially give the Godolphin Hot Pot something to think about. And Leon, have you got a strong opinion on this race from Leicester? I can't imagine it'd be that strong.
No. I mean, but look, I mean, you listen to what Mark has just said there. 12 winners out of 12 runners. That is absolutely phenomenal strike rate at the moment by Charlie Appleby. But I'm going to make it a three again. I just think Happy Power at the prices. I don't think there's an awful lot between Path of Thunder and Happy Power. So look, if you wanted to really have a bet, I think Happy Power 9-4 over the Jolly at even money, but it won't be a race I'll be betting in. I probably won't even watch it, to be honest.
Okay, yeah, the lads not too confident on the race, but they're all siding with Happy Power in that free runner field. Now let's switch back to Sandown for the final two races that we're going to be previewing there. And these are the top class races on the card. And this is the 3 o'clock, the Bet365 Celebration Chase, Grade 1 over 2 miles. And Nube Negra, Leon, a horse who was given a great outside chance in the Champion Chase at Cheltenham to then be pulled out due to a sudden change in ground. Now, they're going to get the ground this weekend by the looks of things, and they're taking on the Tingle Creek winner who they've come up against before at Sandown in Greenertine. Do you reckon Nube Negra can bounce back from that kind of poor run in the Tingle Creek at Sandown and put up a decent performance?
Absolutely. I don't see any reason why not. I mean, Grenadine is one of a handful of winners for Paul Nichols as a grade one this season. But I think Nube Negra, look, yeah, it wasn't a great run in the Tingle Creek. I think that's fair to say. A lot of people were saying that he might be not a dark horse, but he could run a huge race in the Champion Chase. Of course, last year he was only beaten a half a length in the Champion Chase. Things didn't really go the way for him. He then went to Punchestown, but he took on Chacun Pursois in his backyard, and there's not many horses can beat Chacun Pursois over here in Ireland. I thought he was very, very good at Cheltenham in November on good ground, and then they turned him out. I think it was only, what was it? Was it 3 weeks from Cheltenham until the Tingle Creek? And it didn't really go to plan for him. It was a pretty poor performance. He was beaten 12 lengths by Grenadine, but he comes here fresh, having missed Cheltenham, obviously, when the ground went against him on the Wednesday. I think good ground and quick ground is the key to him, and he's one of my bets of the weekend. I really, really think Nube Negra will be very hard to beat in this particular race. It's not a big field, which I think will suit him. There's only five runners, and for me, I think this could be, yeah, I'm going to have a good go off Nube Negra in this particular contest. He's going to be 6-4. He's joint favourite at the moment with Grenadine, but I just have a feeling Nube Negra will show his true colours come Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, Grenadine and Nube Negra are both 6-4 favourites with Ball Sport, and Sky Royale is 7-2 in here. Now, Robbie, Sky Royale is a grand horse. At the age of 10, he's still putting in big runs with a third place just recently at Aintree in the Marsh Chase. Do you think he could cause any trouble to the top two in the market?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I really like the horse, but I mean, you've got to go back nearly 5 years to his last grade one win. That was over this course and distance, admittedly, in a novice chase, but I can't see it. He was beaten 16 lengths by Grenadine in this last year as well. And to me, there's no... I think it'll get closer to Grenadine, but I don't think it'll win. Yeah, Nube Negra for me as well. I was actually writing the analysis for this for the paper earlier, and it's just very interesting. They're both Nube and Grenadine are coming off breaks, but Nube Negra is much better fresh. His record after breaks of like 70 days or more is 1-2-1-2-1, whereas Grenadine's is a lot more sixes and fours and threes. And I feel like Grenadine's the kind of horse that is better when he's kept busy. And it's really not ideal for me that he's coming off the back of a flop at Leopardstown and a 2.5 month break. I feel like he's going to... I know he handled Sandown brilliantly, but I feel like Nube is going to be better on the day tomorrow, and he's the one for me.
Nube Negra, definitely looking like one of the better bets this week. And Mark, who is it for you in the Celebration Chase?
Jeez, we must be all reading off the same notes this week. Nube Negra, yeah, I'd be very, very confident on him. You know, for the case that the lads have said, I won't repeat it all again. Grenadine like Sandown, like record here, whether it be second in the Tingle Creek of 2020, winning this race last year, winning the Tingle Creek, he saw it around here. But I just think, I stand to be correct, I don't think Dan Skelton has won a grade one this season. He's won half a dozen grade twos. Apologies, Dan, if I've got that wrong, but I think his decision to bypass Cheltenham and come here to try and win a grade one looks pretty inspired at the minute. And, you know, Dan, excellent at placing his horses. This looks a really, really good move. And I deserve a grade one win for the season for Dan Skelton, I'd imagine, incoming. Nube Negra for me as well.
It looks like a great chance for Nube Negra to get his head in front and also win this grade one this season. So yeah, Nube Negra for all three of the guys in the Celebration Chase. Now let's get on to the final race we're going to be previewing. This looks like a right old race. 3.32 at Sandown is the Bet365 Gold Cup Handicap Chase. A grade three over 3.5 miles. And if the market at the moment in Rillo is your 7-2 favourite, looks a fairly short price for a race like this. Kitty's Light is 9-2. Win My Wings 5-1. Obviously, they were 1-2 in the Scottish National. Phlegmatic 8-1, along with Musical Slave. Last year's eventual winner, Potterman's 11-1 and 12-1 and bigger. The rest in here. Now, Robbie, we're back talking about Christian Williams' horses and these big staying handicap chases. It sounds like, listening to him, he's probably favouring Kitty's Light of the three. 1-2 in the Scottish National. He's got two in the leading, like the head of the market here. Surely he wouldn't do it again, would he?
I mean, he could do. I'd certainly prefer Kitty's Light out of the two. Wing My Wings, I thought that was harsh enough to raise a stone for winning the air in the Scottish National. I think 1-5-4. I know she's got Rob James again, it's going to help, but I think that's a little bit harsh. Yeah, Kitty's Light's very interesting, but I would just hope for a little bit of a bigger price in a race of this nature. I've gone for Streets of Doyen for John McConnell. McConnell won the Scottish Champion Hurdle with the same owners, Anna Bonina, a few weeks ago. And I just quite like this horse. I mean, he's all about good ground, and you can just completely forget his flop in the Brown Advisory behind Long Press last time. That was on soft ground. It wouldn't have suited. He's still a very lightly raced chaser. He was among the best staying novice herders last season. I mean, he was third in the Albert Bartlett. He was fourth in the Sefton at Aintree. I just don't think we've seen the best of him over fences. He's off 139. That's only £1 higher than his Irish mark. And he looks like the sort of horse that's going to improve for a real test of stamina. Love the ground. So, yeah, Streets of Doyen, about 14-1 for me.
14-1. Streets of Dawn, John McConnell's horses, they just constantly run, which I love to see. And I think he's got an excellent chance in here. Mark, is there any sort of Irish angle you want to give on this race with two of the, I think two horses are coming over from Ireland. Any chance of any of those?
I don't particularly fancy the two Irish horses, but I spoke to John Sharkhanlon for the preview quote there yesterday on Hewick, and he was making the case that he thought the horse was quite unlucky in the Midlands National. Loose horse just came across him. Now, look, at I thought he had a fair bit of racing left to do to call him an unlucky loser, but Shark would be optimistic, and naturally speaking, I would kind of gauge as a character, and he was of the view that this horse would have gone very close in the Midlands National had he not been taken out, and Jordan Gainford can claim £3 in Britain but can't claim it in Ireland, so you know, a lively outsider for him. But the one I like, he's a horse that's frustrated me down through the years, but Musical Slave, I liked what I saw from him in Haydock, you know, turning out, you know, 7 days on, but £7 well in. And I think the cheap pieces made a difference to him in terms of his jumping. You know, he's had chances before in big handicaps and kind of tossed them away and just not really put it all together. But maybe now just stepping up, it'll be his first time beyond 3 mile 2. And you never know, just that type of demand for all that Sandown is a proper jumping test. I think that seven trip could help his jumping in general, along with the cheek pieces. You know, 10 stone 2 is no weight to carry whatsoever. Philip Hobbs is... had winners in this car before as well. I mean, you know, in general, I think he looks like he has an awful lot in his favour, but he's the sort of horse that lets you down with a bang when he does. So I'm slightly tentative with him, but now that he's on form, he's going for a hat-trick, won around here before, just think he makes enough sense. And there's probably a bit of value in the price as well. I mean, he has been nibbled at, but there's still 8-1 about him. So give me a Musical Slave. I'll be a slave to him once again, but hopefully he'll do me a trick for once.
Musical Slave for the Hobbs team, potentially to land the hat trick. Leon, who's your fancy in the final race in the Ball Sports? Doing any extra places this weekend on this one?
So I promise you, me and Mark didn't speak, but I had it down to two. I was looking at Musical Slave. I just think, looking at this real test of stamina and kind of looking back at the Boyle Sports Irish Grand National, I like a low weight coming towards the end of the season, and now that he's got his head in front the last two times, the confidence must be very high within himself. And the other horse that I definitely gave a chance to was the Skelton horse, Phlegmatic. Yeah. I think good ground again is key here. I thought he was very good at Kempton on his penultimate start, when he beat of all the gin joints by 7.5 lengths. Then he went to Kempton again. The ground was a little bit more testing, but it was way too short for him. He won his penultimate start over 3 miles on good ground. He then stepped back almost a half a mile, even when he won. He beat Foxborough by 8 lengths. But I just think the extended trip here for the Skelton horse, for me, they were the two against the field. Win my wings, I agree with Robbie. I mean, to go up a stone for winning the Scottish National is very, very harsh indeed. No one's saying that she wasn't very, very impressive, but a stone seems an awful lot to go up. Phlegmatic and Musical Slave, they're both in and around the 8-1 mark. And I just think for that reason, I'll probably just go with Phlegmatic if I had to pick one of them. But it's a very open-looking race.
Okay, yeah, Mark and Leon both mentioned Musical Slave there, but Leon also siding with Phlegmatic. Robbie with Streets of Dawn. Just an interesting one, Robbie, with regards to this race. Obviously, last year it was a bit of a mess in the stewards' room. We had Enrillo, Kitty's Light and Potterman, with Potterman eventually coming out on top. What do we make of those three?
Yeah, interesting. I thought Enrillo possibly be the one that to uphold the form there, but the fact that he's such a short price favourite, I think the price has gone. I was having a good look at him earlier in the week. He was much bigger, so I'm happy to sit him out. But, I mean, yeah, it's end of the season race. You wouldn't really be surprised whatever happened, but I'd rather side with someone at a big price myself.
Yeah, okay, and Streets of Dawn, the choice of Robbie Wilder's there. And that's the thoughts on the main races covered this week. And we'll be back shortly to get the guys' thoughts and some of the racing elsewhere, as well as getting their naps of the weekend.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to The Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back to the postcast. Now, the all-important moment, we find out the other races that the panel are quite keen on having a look at over this weekend period. Mark, without giving you a nap away, anything over in Ireland that could be worth noting?
Yeah, we've got three listed races at Navan on Saturday. The committed stakes at 3:41 looks fairly decent. Straight Answer, who was sent off 6-1 to beat Native Trail in the Dewhurst last year, but I think the view from Connections was he didn't quite stay. I thought maybe he just wasn't at his best, rather than necessarily stamina being the ultimate reasoning behind that performance. But he takes on a trio of Ballydoyle-trained three-year-olds. There's a lot of threes in that sentence. But they've all got triple figure ratings, the Ballydoyle horses. So, you know, very, very interesting. Cadamosto is one of them in there. He was fourth in last year's Norfolk. He was 5-1 favourite. And not a race that worked out fairly well. Perfect Bears go. Cadamosto only 3/4 of the length he was beaten on that day. So, I mean, that's definitely a race worth watching with a view to the Commonwealth Cup. For all that, maybe they're a little bit down the pecking order at this stage of it. There might be an Oaks clue or two in the Salisbury Stakes at 4:15 at Navan as well. Concert Hall, trained by Aidan O'Brien, a filly I have loads of time for. Didn't see the best of her in the filly's mile when she was last seen in October, but really, really liked the way she toughed it out previously. She won the Well Park Stakes at the Curra, beat Gavin Cromwell's Sunset Shiraz. You know, previously fourth in the Maiglair as well. I think she's got a lot of quality and will improve her stepping up and trip this season. Just one thing to bear in mind with her, Aidan O'Brien, the stable tour. For all that now, I hold Oaks tickets with her. I was a bit disappointed to see that he mentioned the Pretty Polly at the Curra for her rather than the Oaks necessarily right now as a target. But I'd like to see her show up well here and maybe change his mind to have a crack at Epsom. Jessica Harrington has Magical Lagoon in the same race. Again, a Group 3 winner last season in the Flame of Tara, who didn't really deliver her very best in the Phillies Mile for all. She wasn't disgraced, but speaking to Jessica Harrington at a press morning a couple of weeks ago, got the impression that she had done particularly well from 2-3, and her pedigree and everything would suggest, you know, even physically, you think that she's going to be a better 3-year-old than she was a 2-year-old. So I'm excited about her. And yeah, my nap will come in the other listed race in the card, the Vintage Crop. So if you want to pan back afterwards, give me a shout or whatever you want to do.
I'll come back for your nap in a second. Mark, but it could be some really interesting racing at Navan, especially with the view to sort of the big races later down the line in the season. Leon, is there anything in Ireland that you think is worth noting?
Yeah, look, I mean, Aesop's Fable is a horse I'm looking forward to seeing in that opening race for Aidan O'Brien. And Ryan Moore was given a kind of a favourable mention when Aidan was going through a couple of his two-year-olds. And I just think the way Aidan's two-year-olds have started the season in really good form. I was very, very taken by the winner at Tipperary, the full brother to Batash, the Antarctic at Tipperary yesterday, upsetting the stalls. He ducked left at the start and still won, and won quite comfortably in the end. I think Aidan's got a good crop of two-year-olds by all reports this year. Not as heavy on older horses this year, but certainly the two-year-olds and three-year-olds look to be quite a strong bunch. Mark has kind of talked about a couple of the listed races. The Vintage Crop is an interesting race in terms of you've got Search for a Song, who's probably going to be favourite around about the 5-2, 11-4 mark for Michael Stud Firm and Dermot Weld. We all know that she is absolutely a really, really solid and durable mare. She's a six-year-old now. But she's bred absolutely in the purple, and she hasn't disappointed any of her followers on big days. Normally, however, does take a run or two to get going. A horse that was he was a bit frustrating last year, again owned by Maiglair, is Kyprios, trained by Aidan O'Brien. He's a horse I'm going to be very interested to see how he runs on a seasonal debut. I think he could turn into a really smart stayer as the season progresses. But if I have to go for one, I think I'd go for Baron Samedi to win the Vintage Cup for Joseph O'Brien. But obviously, hopefully, Mark will not put that down as a snap, because if he does, everyone will think that me and him just had a phone call before this podcast.
I was going to get to Leon. You made the lunch there for us there. We'll chat in a few minutes if you're in the same.
Plenty of good racing over in Ireland at the weekend. And Aesop's Fables does look a very exciting two-year-old. Ryan Moore taking the ride over there, and obviously some decent horses potentially looking ahead to the big sort of Ascot Gold Cups and the staying races as well. Leon giving some mentions for them. Now, that's everything with regards to races elsewhere. It's time to get the gents' naps of the weekend.
This will not be beaten.
Robbie, I've left you long enough. What's the nap this weekend?
I'm going to stick with Oh This Is Us 205 at Haydock. I think he's opened up at a massive price. I could see him going off much short.
Oh This Is Us, a 16-1 nap with Boyle Sports. Leon, who's the best bet this weekend?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to go anywhere near 16-1 Nube Negra all day long.
Nube Negra, yeah, probably one of the better bets this weekend, in my opinion, as well. And Mark, we said we're going to come back to you for your nap. It better be a good one.
Jeez, I'm under pressure now, lads. Yeah, I wasn't expecting this sort of build up, but I actually really like Leo the Fury each way in the Vintage Crop, double figure price, probably. Stepping up in trip for the first time. He's by Australia and is a half brother to Luxembourg. And he was pretty good in the past, maybe over shorter trips. Can he won a Moors Bridge over an extended mile and two. He's won over a mile and a half at Dundalk in September. And they've gone back in trip rather than stuck at a mile and a half since. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do over a mile and six. Jessica Harrington seemed to be particularly pleased with how he'd come through the winter in comparison to other years. You know, on ratings, there are a few interesting ones. Obviously, Search for a Song, if she runs to her rating, you know, they all have her to beat. But I don't necessarily think that we will see peak Search for a Song first him up. Like Dermot Weld, he'll surely have bigger targets in mind than this. For all that it's a race he'll have, you know, a soft spot for, being named after Vintage Crop, his first Melbourne Cup winner. But I just think, good going down through it, you can pick holes in a lot of the horses there. Baron Samedi, a lot of respect for what Leon, you know, for the horse. You know, he's, the one thing is just that Maidan run, he was disappointing. He's coming back from, you know, I don't think he's coming in here on the same sort of role that he was coming in here last year. Kyprios entitled to need the run after a year off. You know, you can find holes in a lot of them, and at a fairly decent price, I think Leo de Fury will give you a good run for your money each way.
There we go, Leo de Fury, that's in the Vintage Crop Stakes. That's the 4:46 at Navan on Saturday. So, Oh This Is Us for Robbie, Leon with Nube Negra, and Leo de Fury for Mark as their naps of the weekend. And that's everything covered for this weekend's postcast. Big thanks to Robbie, Mark and Leon. Maddie will be back on Monday to review this weekend's action, as well as probably give a preview of the excellent racing that we have at Punchestown that week. Do subscribe, whatever platform you are listening to us on. If you are having a bet this weekend, do remember to gamble responsibly. And thanks very much for listening. We'll see you soon.